So, retrospectors, what historical events are we ticking off on this week's run of Today in History?
Well, Monday is the anniversary of the day Roger first published his famous thesaurus.
Then on Tuesday, we say happy birthday, Mr. Potato Head.
On Wednesday, the extraordinary stories of the child soldiers who fought in the American Civil War.
On Thursday, how King James changed the word of God.
And on Friday, what did spam emails look like in 1978?
We discuss this and more on Today in History with the retrospectors. 10 minutes every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 podcast that thinks a month-long break between races is not long enough.
I quite enjoyed the 4 weeks off, and then F1 came back and it just kind of ruined my weekend.
I've been ill for 3.5 weeks. When you're lying in bed with something that I'm going to call the flu, a Grand Prix is a really good thing to have on, and there were none for 3 weeks, the bastards.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the dickhead of F1 podcasts.
Who called who a dickhead?
Verstappen called George Russell a dickhead.
Oh my God, that is the kind of language he'd use. That makes so much sense.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 podcast that was allowed to wander in the pit lane like malevolent cattle.
Can you imagine if they let us in a pit lane?
I would just use my... I'd use that bib they put the photographers in. I'd take the rest of my clothes off. I'd just lie. Lie in the pit lane naked.
On from lap four onwards.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 Sprint Podcast. This joke determines the order of the jokes in next week's podcast.
Too much qualifying, too many races.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the F1 Podcast that may or may not be shacking up with Taylor Swift.
The rumours have been kicking around, and I'd just like right now to neither confirm or deny my relationship with Taylor Swift.
However, I have been boning Tina Turner for a year.
How was she?
I can't think of any of her songs to make a funny laugh.
Simply the best. Come on. It was set up on a plate.
Not Bush City Limits, but she is old.
Welcome to For Formula One's Sake, the podcast F1 deserves. I'm Ollie Peart, and after a full month away, I'm back to talk about the Baku Grand Prix. And Christ, I wish I wasn't. Despite two races, one of which was a much vaunted revamped sprint race, it was deathly dull, but at least the championship's a bit closer now. We'll talk about all that, and we'll also be dropping a massive bombshell. That's all to come. Yes, I'm not Chica. More on why that is in just a moment. But joining me is a man who got sunburned on a beach. It's Phil Tromans.
In the UK, the weather has, I'm going to say, improved. Mm-hmm. It's not brilliant, considering it's May, but it's less terrible than it was in April, to the point where it wasn't raining long enough that at the weekend, it was a bank holiday weekend, I got to go to the beach, had chips. It was a bit grey. I was quite tired because I've got a young daughter, and I fell asleep on the beach and somehow got bloody sunburned while lying on the beach asleep in full winter clothing. So my face is quite tingly now.
And beside him, on my screen at least, is a man who got sunburned on a beach. It's Terry Saunders.
So my beach was a little more glamorous. I went to Barcelona because I live in Europe.
Oh my God.
Do you know what? I didn't even need to show my passport either way because they just go, you come from a European city. You obviously don't have to deal with all that shit. Anyway, quite hot in Barcelona and was walking around all day. And there's not really a funny side to this story. I didn't put any sun cream on because I thought I'd be fine. We're not going to be out for long. And then
Barcelona, innit?
Proper Barcelona, isn't it? A proper lobster, proper British abroad lobster, pink arm. Looks like I can't hold my drink. Oh, yeah, I want egg and chips. Do you do paella? And I don't. That's not the person I am, but that is the person I've become.
See, I did put sun cream on, but clearly not enough or in the right places.
Should put on ridiculous sun cream on top of your coat.
I should have done. I should have just smeared it.
Were you burnt? Because if you were wearing your winter clothes, you were. Oh, you're going to show us. Okay.
Side and back.
Okay, just
neck.
Let the hair down, Phil, and then it's not going to burn, is it?
I should have done. I had it tied up like a cool guy, but it was all...
It's like one of those caps you used to get as a kid where they've got the little sort of cape on the back. Do you remember those?
Well, like the French Foreign Legion.
Yeah, maybe.
Ollie, what's new with you?
I got sunburnt on a beach.
What?
Yay!
I did. I went to a beach.
Trifactor.
Yeah, it was. It was, and it did. It caught me off guard. I wasn't wearing sun cream, and I got the t-shirt tan. I'm ginger as well, so I sunburn quite quickly. I can kind of see it in real time happening. So I literally look down. I can see my arms going pink.
Like you were sizzling on the pan.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think? I was just going to say, do you think this podcast is going to be used for evidence at some point when they show a documentary of going, and the poor fools of 2023 had no awareness that climate change was happening. Listen to these three idiots all talking about how they got sunburned on the beach, surprisingly, and yet they didn't do anything about it.
Oh, it was freezing just yesterday. I pissed with rain and my garden got flooded. Today is lovely. It's really nice. Right, before we get into Listener's Corner, bombshell. We start this week on a sad note. After 8 years of helming our nonsense, Chica is moving on from For F1's Sake. Although we have our suspicions, she assures us that she isn't going to take a senior role at AlphaTauri. Chica has been the linchpin of FF1S, and we will, of course, miss her terribly. But protocol dictates that we can never speak of her again, and any inadvertent mentions will be beeped out. She has promised to come back for a final hurrah after the Miami race, so please send us your favourite Chica memories and tributes. But remember, she's not dead. You can email us at wrong@ff1s.com and we'll read them out, possibly in tears. So am I the new host then?
For today.
Oh, okay. Is there a recruitment process or interview?
Yeah, well, we're asking Angus Deaton, and then after that, second choice is
Mattia Bonotto.
Sure. Okay. All right. No, that's good. Okay. All right. No, that's fine. I consider myself just a reserve driver then for now.
Yeah, I think that's probably best. You look good in headphones standing at the back. It's a sad day. Chica, we will miss you very much.
And it's also weird that we've been doing this for 8 years. That's also quite shocking to see that written down, that we're all 8 years older. But we're all going to miss Chica. And look at me, I've been all sincere. I'm not very good at it.
I'm sure we'll get into it in a lot more detail in the next podcast. Because, Chica will be back for the grand finale. And we'll, I'm sure, talk about stuff. But, please get in touch and tell us why she's great.
You both sound like nice. She is dead.
I want to stress again, she's not, as far as we know, she's not dead.
And just to stress, this isn't like those WTF1 shits, right? We haven't fallen out. We haven't fallen out with Chica. She's not going to suddenly just come up with a new podcast next week called FF2S.
Well, hang on. Do we know this?
I think you'll find her contract means she's going to do 6 years gardening league. Oh my god! What if she is doing a rival podcast? We've been there saying, "Oh, Chica, we're going to miss you. We're really sorry." And she's going to come up with it'll be with bloody Ted Kravitz, Jake Humphrey, and David Croft and James Allen and Chica.
So we really want to make Chica's last show as spectacular as we possibly can. So please, please get in touch with us, wrong@ff1s.com, of all your favourite memories and tributes to Chica and the things that you will miss most about her. And we will be in touch with you.
And also, there's a card going to land on your desk. If you can just sign it and pass it on to the next person.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Okay, right, on to Listener's Corner for reals, which Max Verstappen will probably moan about. Although we were treated to two races this weekend, they were less than riveting. Joshua Jake Stewart says, well, we finally have the answer to the question, how much Formula One is too much? Two qualifyings and two races in one weekend, that's how much. Ivo Fantini says, that sounds like a drink. Alonso's move on Sainz was potentially the highlight of the race, and that happened on lap one. Why do we still watch this sport? And Marcus John Atkinson says, I enjoyed it, but then again, I also enjoy watching repeats of 1990s Grand Prix and autoerotic asphyxiation.
It's really hard.
Well, don't we all, Marcus?
It's really hard to get those old videos of the ones that are 1990s Grand Prix and autoerotic asphyxiation because they didn't get banned.
But luckily, there were several races between 91 and 95 where that was a key part of it.
Well, it was how you got through the race.
Mansell involved.
Yeah. Mansell was always involved.
Well, that's how I got through the races when I was a teenager. I'd put a bag over my head and have a wank until the last pit stops.
Where did Chica go?
I don't know.
It's just going to be about wanking now, is it? That's it, just autoerotic asphyxiation.
The filter's off.
Over Mansell's tash.
It was. But it wasn't. It wasn't, was it?
It could have been.
What was it? It could have been. It has been in the past. To start off with, Baku, it wasn't. And then it was for a bit.
No, it's not again.
But this, I think they got too confident. They were like, right, let's do it twice. Because it's Baku. It's been exciting for years. Let's do it twice. It was rubbish.
Why was it rubbish? Overtaker was difficult.
Yeah, well, it's not. So they've changed the format from the last year's sprint race, which meant it became like the first stint for a Grand Prix because everyone was being very slow and careful. So they went, let's change this and we'll make it for points, but it won't dictate the race at all. So we'll have qualifying on a Friday where no one's going to watch it because they're at work. And that qualifying is for Sunday's race. But in between the qualifying and the race, we're going to have another race. It's like a Formula One sandwich.
And another qualifying.
But it's not a qualifying. It's a shootout, sprintout, shoot.
And a free practice.
Yeah. It's just too much. And also, Formula One has gone from like 16 races a year to like 25 or whatever it is now. There are too many races in a year, and now they're making too many races in a fucking day. I can't take it.
Yeah. It was genuinely problematic because it was bank holiday weekend in the UK. Do they have that in other countries? I don't know. It means that we get a day off work.
We have them in Germany. We have them in Germany.
Essentially, I had to have 3 days of watching F1 if I wanted to see everything, one of which was a work day on the Friday. I don't have time for that. Like, who has time to watch all the Grand Prix things if you've got anything to do or a family? It's hard enough doing one race for 2 hours, let alone 5 hours of F1 or whatever it turned out to be. It's too much F1.
It's also quite a lot of time to understand it. I had to read about it about 5 times before I understood what actually was going on.
I still don't know what's going on.
I don't get it. I missed the Friday. I saw a bit of the Saturday and I think I saw the Sunday. I don't really know what happened.
So it's very simple. There's a free practice one where everyone freaks out because they've only got an hour and they don't want to fuck everything up. Then there's qualifying. Now, qualifying takes place on Friday, but normally it takes place on Saturday. But on the sprint race, it takes place on Friday. It determines the order that the race on Sunday starts. On Saturday, we ignore that Friday happened. And we go to a sprint out, super qualifying, super sprint shootout, which determines the order for the race that's going to happen in about half an hour after that. And that...
But there are tyre rules.
Oh, God. Then you can only have one tyre or three tyres, right? You can only have two tyres. You can only have one set of tyres. No one cares.
We're tired, ironically.
So, isn't it? You just want to watch it and it be interesting. You don't want to have to calculate everything and work out what's happening.
I don't want to turn into the guy that only watches the highlights.
Oh,
dear.
Because basically, I came back from the weekend away on Monday and I had to then go to my wife. Sorry, you have to look after the child now because I have to watch two races, which raised a considerable eyebrow.
Mm. She does. The Formula One 7-minute YouTube highlights are really good.
Well, this is where Formula One is nailing it at the moment. They're turning it into an easily digestible... They do all the hard work, so we don't have to. They just cram it down. There's enough fun stuff over 12 hours of racing, or whatever it was, that it can fill 7 minutes.
But this
minutes.
Is the problem. It's making the 7 minutes more tenable. It's more like more tempting than actually watching all the different races, because that's just too much.
Maybe they're
doing
TikTok is maybe
the way to go for F1.
Well, maybe they're doing a test. Maybe they're, you know, with the sprint races, they're like, okay, well, maybe we'll just shrink the whole thing down into this sort of 15-lap, you know, T20 style F1 thing, and we just ditch the full sort of 50-lap races. That's like the fucking the old cricket and the cricket whites and all that stuff. Now we get some cheerleaders with their tits out and, you know, waving around
those have gone now.
Maracas. We'll bring them back.
Unless they're going to bring them back again.
Just 10-lap races. We'll have 15 10-lap races with 1,200 drivers, and it's just a big festival of shit for 2-3 days. There we go.
I am interested in the 1,200 drivers idea.
I
think we should explore this.
I think Elon Musk should buy Formula One and then make all the cars
fire it.
All
the
cars
moon.
Explode and then they run over people. Oh, that's happening anyway. Oh, sorry. Ooh, satire.
Nice.
It wasn't all dull, though, was it? Because the most exciting bit of the race is when the FIA let a load of photographers line up in the pit lane, only for Esteban Ocon to come blatting in and nearly run them all over. That was fun. Colin Wilkes says Ocon left a big skid mark, and not with his tyres. Fresh tighty-whities after the pit entry. Stuart Forsyth says some people are on the track. They think it's all over. Thankfully, it was, and that was a dreadfully boring weekend of F1 racing. At least we have the excitement of Miami to look forward to next.
Oh, God. The car park with the painted swimming pool is the thing we're looking forward to.
Anyway, photographers, that was amazing.
Yeah, that was good. That was the best bit of the
weekend.
I mean,
good in that way that...
And how did that happen?
Good in the way that no one got hurt, obviously, and we're happy about it. changed. But just amazing in that I can't think of a more Formula One thing than seemingly everybody knowing it was going to happen, and yet it's still happening.
The commentary was quite funny where they were like, hang on, have we missed something? Is he not going to pit? Because there's loads of people in the pit lane now. And oh my God, he's coming in.
It was just so strange that everybody knew that he had to do this one pit stop. Even, I mean, the best was, did you see the bit where one of the marshals put on those little rope barriers, like at a bank, right across the pit lane? The kind of like the tensor barrier thing.
That's garrotting height.
Yeah, like, what would have happened if a Formula One car hit that? Or would he just have to queue and go around the snake like in the post office?
Was it high tensile wire? It probably wasn't, but knowing the FIA, it probably
was.
Yeah,
it's probably made of Rolex, is it? But it was just... And Ted Kravitz moaning, oh my God, it's funny. Like, he was moaning like he was watching the Hindenburg blow up. It was just like, oh my God, this is terrible.
The humanity. Like,
I mean, do you know what I mean? Actually, what's going to happen is the team radio are going to say to Ocon, hey, up, there's some people in the pit lane. Don't come in that fast if I were you.
hey up,
lad. This is Alpine.
Alpine's Yorkshire. Alpine, that's his name. Alpine. Alan Peen.
Didn't get where I am today without my dad owned one of these cotton mills.
There's tit photographers in tit pit lane.
I mean, that used to happen a lot, didn't it? Back in the day, people running out on the track and getting run over.
Well, it was part of the thing. Like, well, back in the day where they had just an open... The pit lane was literally just at the side of the track. And then they made it a separate thing, but there was no speed limit. And there was no siren or anything. And it was back in the day when, you know, the guy waving the flag was on the track at the end of the race. Mm. That was great. Until relatively recently. Mm. And I can't remember who made the comparison, but it was, I saw it online, that they were comparing it to Group A rallying back in the 80s, when the rally cars would literally come flying around the corner. There'd just be people and they'd part like the Red Sea.
But that's beautiful to watch.
Yeah, I'm all in favour. I think there should be more of it. I think they should. You know, there was the concern in Australia where they brought the crowd onto the track too early. I think this is the start of something beautiful.
Well, the thing is, it is amazing, because basically the reason, as far as I can ascertain, that this happened is that they want to get the podium ceremony ready as quick as possible. Get everyone there.
Get it going. Get them in. Get them up
Netflix.
There. Get it done.
We've got to get people seeing them. Get them. We've got to make sure they've got the podium in their hand before the inevitable three-hour stewards inquiry. So they do this. So one of the rules they just kind of went is, oh, you know, no one picked on the last lap, do they? Yeah, we can send them out then. So it was actually part of the protocol, which they do every race, is they just like start letting people wander around on the last lap, because it's, you know, something bad could happen, but it probably
start
won't.
Start doing it on the track.
What are the chances? So it's stupid. So they'll inevitably change for next week. But knowing the FIA, they'll probably get really grumpy about it and all fucking French about it. And they'll be like, oh, well, if you want us to delay it to the last lap, then we'll delay it another hour.
What they'll do is they'll bring in something. They'll be like, right, well, we've seen this. This can happen now. We're going to put in rules to stop this. They'll inevitably not think about it properly, and it will cause some other problem in the future.
Oh, it'll probably be a loophole that Red Bull will win next year's championship, because there'll be some loophole that
exactly.
Red Bull come into the pits at the end, the last lap of every race, and somehow win the race through a technicality.
Yeah, and if only there'd been photographers there, it would have been a closer battle.
Maybe they'll just They'll
probably do something, and then it'll turn out the next race that no cameras are allowed into
banned.
The circuit.
We no
won't
cameras.
See any of the rest of the season.
Yeah. That way no one will die ever, and no one will see it if anyone dies anyway, because there'll be no cameras.
I think the initial response from the FIA was a bit like, oh, it's those photographers' fault, which was like, no. You open the door and say, come on through. Oh, they came on through, the stupid horses. Sorry, I'm missing the middle bits out of my metaphors today, so you're just going to have to keep up.
No, I like it.
It's fine. In other news, Fernando Alonso and Taylor Swift, a match made in heaven. Apparently everyone's famous bridge-burning backstabber is possibly dating the famous pop singer, which can only result in a million-selling new album when they inevitably break up. What are we to read into this?
I mean, I guess it means that F1's arrived.
Oh.
At least in America.
Okay.
This is sort of like... I mean, it's 10 years after, I don't know, more than 10 years after Hamilton and Nicole Scherzinger. But Taylor Swift's probably a bigger deal.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to make of
it. Is everything really that fake?
Everyone's being very coy about it.
Well, the thing is, when I first read the news, I was going to go to town on this. I was going to do standings in the style of Taylor Swift songs. I was going to do a state of F1 all about it. I was going to do a whole thing about how inevitably Fernando Alonso is going to get a couple of race wins and then she's going to leave him and his results will plummet at the end of the year and he just won't want to get up anymore. That's the end of his career.
And he'll write an album about it.
But the reason I don't want to talk about all those things is because of David Croft, like a fucking creepy old man at a wedding, was just trying to shoehorn in Taylor Swift references that we all know that he didn't understand them. And I don't understand. I know the song Shake It Off. I don't know any other Taylor Swift songs. So all I could ascertain is that every time David Croft said something weird, which was quite hard to work out, actually, then that must have been a Taylor Swift reference. He just kind of go, oh, and then here comes Fernando Alonso. Oh, he's knocking on her door. Oh, it's like, well, that must be a Taylor Swift song, isn't it?
God.
I didn't notice that. No. Because similar to you, I think I know one Taylor Swift title. Oh, I missed that entirely.
That's horrible.
Maybe I fell asleep. Well, hopefully it all crumbles into nothing fairly quickly then and we can just get on with our lives.
It'll be good for Drive to Survive, though, wouldn't it? That's why they're doing it.
There's not been many big celeb other halves that I can think of.
Jerry Halliwell?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was big like 25 years ago. She's not really now, is she?
Ralph Schumacher?
Who is he going out with?
Pierre Gasly.
I mean, from a wider marketing point of view, I guess I'm all in favour of it. Like,
is this marketing, though? No, I'm sorry. I know that I'm all...
Of course it is.
There we go. Come on,
famous
fight about
people
it.
Don't have
fight
real love
it.
Lives. Come on.
Get
it's
angry.
All
Come on, Terry. Get fucking angry about it.
I don't want to be so cynical to think this is all made up, but what if, right, Fernando Alonso, he's had our time the last 10 years. You know, he's been going... He went through Crashgate, and then he had all those years when he failed...
Which was his
Formula
fault,
One,
yeah.
And then, you know...
Yeah, which was his fault,
and then
yeah.
He went to India and didn't win. You know, and now he's finally found...
That wasn't his
fault. He's finally found his one true love, which is Lawrence Stroll, and and now he's got something on the side. You know, what if him and Taylor Swift are in love? What if she...
Taylor Swift will leave him for Lance Stroll.
What if she, after all these years of dating pop stars and other tall people and other people who are fit, what if she goes, do you know what? That grumpy, stocky Spanish man looks like a keeper.
Yeah, what a big neck he's got.
Does have a big neck.
And now Taylor Swift loves Kimoa.
Yeah. We start seeing Kimoa-themed songs coming out, we know something's going on.
Some staff have moved around, which under normal circumstances wouldn't be that exciting, but the race was shit, so let's get into it. Ferrari sporting director Laurent Miquiz is off to replace Franz Tost. As boss of AlphaTauri, although we're not sure when he's going. And some other senior Ferrari personnel have buggered off too. It all follows the departure of Mattia Binotto last year, who was replaced by Fred Vasseur.
Two things to talk about here. One is that Franz Tost is going.
Yeah, because he's kind of got buried a bit.
He's been there forever. Has Toro Rosso had any other team principal?
Wasn't Gerhard Berger one of the first ones?
Don't remember. Franz Tost has been there for a very long time. And I wonder if this is anything to do with the new regime at Red Bull after Dietrich Mateschitz passed away.
Yeah.
And he's gone, you guys are dicks. Or they've gone, you're a dick, get out of here. Because we did speculate a while back that there could be changes that maybe people wouldn't like.
Well, they have. I mean, Toro Rosso have been woeful this year.
Well, there is that.
But that's not really big news. But
but yeah, for A, he's going. That's interesting. Not interesting enough for us to talk about it anymore. But Laurent Mekki's coming in is also interesting because there's quite a few senior Ferrari people going since Fred Vasseur came in. And I wonder if he's starting going, you guys are shit, get out of here.
But they're not shit, though, were they, last year? So that's a bit weird, isn't it? Were they shit?
They made a good car and then didn't do much with it.
Right. They made a few bad decisions, didn't they?
A few bad decisions every single
minute. What's the opposite of polishing a turd?
Sprinkling glitter on it. That's not the opposite. That's just another way of making it look nice.
No, the opposite would be more like sprinkling... No, hang on.
Polishing rubbing a turd. Turds on...
Shitting on a diamond. Polish.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. They shat on a diamond.
They shat on a diamond, yeah. They had a diamond and they shat on it. Well, they didn't shit on it. They
so
just
what's
kind
this
of,
then?
They just kind of didn't put the brakes on and watched it roll down a hill into a passerby. Yeah, well, the thing is...
Is this just Fred Vasseur cleaning out the Binotto clan?
I mean, you'd have to think so, because if anyone was that outraged at Binotto leaving or being fired, they'd have left with him, presumably. So if they're leaving now, it's because Freddie Vasseline has come in and gone, right, I want to see what you do for us. A bit like, you know, that those stories about Elon Musk going, send me your code so I know if you're valuable to what Twitter does, blah, blah, blah.
But yeah. What's your job? What do you actually do? Yeah,
but Freddie Vasseline just goes into each of their offices and says, open the drawer. And if they open the drawer and it's like a clanking of empty wine glasses and wine bottles, they go, right, you fuck off.
He says you're staying.
Shit, yeah, right. That's the Ferrari way. The problem with last year's car is we just weren't drunk enough.
Well, that changes this year. As Terry takes a big old swig of his drink.
We are sponsored by Ferrari's disappointment.
A drinking championship would be great. Oh. I'd love it. I'd watch it. F1 on booze. Just a little sideline.
I mean, there'll be a few safety things to massage through.
Nah,
but years ago, when I used to be one of those skater boys that Avril Lavigne sang about, there was a skate competition called Tequila Hammers, where every time you did a good trick, you had to take a shot of tequila.
Excellent.
And then it got progressively more difficult because everyone was absolutely smashed. And I'd be quite keen to see that format come to top-end motorsport.
What should happen, I reckon, is when you do a fastest lap, so in the race, for anyone who does a fastest lap, they just get an intravenous shot of vodka or something.
Yeah. Or it just goes through their water bottle.
Straight in. Or, yeah. And then we just watch the race descend into chaos.
What if it's not the driver, but just somebody at random in the team each week?
Strategy.
No one knows who.
One of the pit guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. At random is a good one.
So just be suddenly, they'll just be like...
The front left tyre. Yeah. It's just no fucking
just like, ah. Doing the pit stop, the mechanic just goes, I'm just going to have a little lie down on this, have a little nap. I'm not asleep, just got me up. My eyes are open. Go on.
Pushes the wheel out, falls over. Maybe that's what happened to Tsunoda's tyre.
Yeah.
You know, where that ended up doing a whole lap by itself.
Or when
that was
Max
ridiculous.
Verstappen,
what happened?
Or when Max Verstappen says to his radio guy, just kind of goes, oh, God, did you see that? I got hit by someone. And the guy's like, oh, do you know what? I don't care anymore, Max. I'm sick of this.
I didn't see it.
I love you, Max, but you just don't appreciate me.
In other news, are we going to get some new teams? Well, the furore around a possible Andretti Cadillac team seems to have died down, but there is a drive on to get some new entries, with applications welcome as of early Feb, and the deadline has been pushed back by FIA boss Mohamed Ben Saleem until May 15, which presumably means there haven't been enough entries. What's this all about then?
Well, that's a very good question.
Thanks.
With probably a very long and very complicated answer. In theory, the FIA is keen to get people to express interest in joining F1, of which the Andretti Cadillac thing has been the most notable so far, and they probably have put an entry in. But the problem is that the team's not so keen on it, because it means a dilution of cash for them, so why would they like it? So I'm intrigued to know what's going on in the background here, because there must be a reason they've extended the deadline.
Well, it's just why they've extended the deadline.
Maybe there's extra people that they've managed to badger into convincing that they should put an entry in, because there's a cost attached to it. Like, they have to pay like 20, 30
grand. But this is what I don't get. So they've extended the deadline by, what, like a couple of weeks, which either means that one of the giant car companies of this world has rung up and gone, all right, can we just have another couple of weeks to our own work? We're nearly there. you just extend the essay deadline, Dad. And the other option is, someone's just gone, oh, do you know, we'll give it a go. Yeah, we just need a couple of weeks. Yeah, just we'll make an application. Don't worry about it. Yeah, yeah. Dodgy Terry's engines. Yeah, that was fine.
What teams would you like to see enter? Like, who would you like to see, you know, get into F1?
I mean, I would be intrigued to see an Andretti Cadillac entry. I think that would be genuinely interesting. The speculation is that another of the teams that may be preparing something is Hi-Tech, which has some teams in some junior formula.
Aren't they the people that make those weird trainers?
Yeah, they're the trainers we got bullied for.
Well, yes, they. Yeah. I had some of those, and yes, it is true, you did get bullied for them.
I'm going to support the new Gola team then. Intersport.
I used to have a pair of Riddell trainers when I was about 13, and that did not go down well with the rest of the boys in year 8.
It's kids are mean.
There is a suggestion, this Hi-Tech team, might be considering an entry. Now, on the face of it, that's a you know, a well-established, good old British team. But the major backing, the people behind the backing of it are, Czech's note, the Mazepin family.
Oh, good.
So they might be coming back.
Are they allowed?
So that'll be fun. Well, no, which is why it's British-owned. But it's British-owned by a company that apparently was formed about 2 days after the ban on Russian ownership.
To be fair, most of Britain is Russia-owned. You know,
there was quite a lot of involvement before then, so we're not saying it's dodgy. We're not saying it's dodgy. We're definitely not saying it's dodgy.
But if it was dodgy, it might look like this, as coincidentally.
Yeah.
I would never say that. And there's apparently a couple of other random teams that I don't know anything about as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if nothing happens because the teams won't budge on it. But who knows?
Look, I think teams shouldn't be named after car companies or brands. So none of your Mercedes, none of your Red Bull, none of your Andretti. We want it to be the boss's last name again. That's what the great teams are. McLaren, Brabham, Williams, Tyrrell.
Ferrari
even. Yeah, true. So I think the next...
McLaren, yeah.
They should just pick a member Williams. Of staff at random and say the team will now be called Smith.
Who are the other team? Vasseur. That's actually not the worst name of it. Who was it? Horner. Ooh.
Something weird about
Brown.
That.
I'll be sat in the corner. Anyway.
Team Brown.
Brown. I support the Zach Brown team.
I hope Mike Crack becomes the team principal.
Oh, fuck that guy.
Fuck Mike Crack.
Yes. Yes, amazing. You can tell us how wrong we are. You can tweet us at For F1's Sake or find us on Facebook where we're For F1's Sake. Or you can email us at wrong@ff1s.com. Alternatively, if you think we're right, then why not buy us a beer? Thanks to everyone who's done so in April. They are Catherine Verzi, who says Max Verstappen showers with his dad.
Okay. What are we... What's the insinuation there?
I think it's quite clear, isn't it?
I think... Is this... I think it's fine. They're trying to save water for the planet.
Yeah.
Maybe that's true.
Yeah.
We don't know much about his environmental thing, so maybe they're the next Sebastian Vettel.
I bet Jos Verstappen doesn't flush after a shit and he makes Max shit on his shit as a kind of father-son dominance.
If it's mellow, yes, it's
You shit on mellow. My shit, son. I can't do a Dutch accent, so I'm just going to go.
That was close.
Yorkshire again.
Sean Bean and his son.
Is that
Max
Alpine
Bean.
Again?
Sean Bean, Alpine. Here's my son, Max Bean. He's a
He's a bastard.
Christian Swantoon says, thanks for what you guys do. My girlfriend would leave me for Phil in a heartbeat.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Where were you 15 years ago?
Phil, you're a lovely guy. You're very good looking.
Apparently so.
I love you dearly. But what's wrong with me here? What's wrong with the kooky Berlin dyed hair hipster who's going through several midlife crises and is always tired and doesn't have any children? What?
Sure. Why don't you just go for the overweight midlife crisis guy who's experimenting with a mustache?
Oh, I thought you meant me midlife crisis. I'd be overweight then for a second. I was like, no, I think you'll find out.
No, I'm much more overweight than you
are. I've been losing weight worryingly.
Yeah, exactly. I've been piling it on. Because of Jaffa cakes.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Can we just do, Ollie, as an impartial observer, a kind of shag, marry, avoid with me and Phil?
Okay, yes.
But somehow one of us has got to be two things.
Yeah, okay. I would I'd shag Phil because I think it just looks like it's going to be a bit dangerous. I don't really know what to expect.
What with you me, you mean?
No, with Phil. Like,
it'd be dangerous for Phil?
No, it'd be dangerous for me. What am I shagging on and doing? I'm doing that stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
I just think that I'd like to see where it would go. I'd marry you because I think you'd take me to all these like Berlin lovely European coffee houses and lovely things and stuff, and I think that'd just be really nice. And I think you'd probably be great in the garden, you know, keeping a nice garden. I don't know why I think that.
Weird euphemism.
And I'd also avoid Phil. So it kind of negates the fucking Phil. So I'd have to just, you know, it kind of cancels each other out, that one. So
Does it?
Does it? You'd avoid me and end up married to Terry. That's not really cancelling each other out.
No, no, the marrying Terry's kind of okay.
To a sad, lonely life, yeah. Where you have a lovely life with Terry.
No, exactly. I'd feel like we'd...
Going to Berghain.
Be doing what all those people do at the moment on Instagram and live our lives like a Wes Anderson film.
Oh, can we do that thing where you're holding your hand behind you and you can just see my hand holding yours at the bottom of the frame?
Oh, perfect. Yeah, see, I'm already dreaming about it. You know, I know it was a joke to begin with, but now I'm starting to wonder if... I've made some pretty terrible life choices. Anyway,
thank you, Christian. And if your girlfriend wants to employ me as a freelancer.
freelance gigolo?
No, copywriting.
Oh, yeah.
Production support.
Copywriting, you mean support. Sexting.
Yeah. A huge...
They'd be very well spelt.
Are either of you any good at sexting?
No.
Okay. That explains the text I've been getting.
These aren't erotic at all. Terry, why haven't you updated the script? What's that supposed to do?
And a huge thanks to our monthly donors, keeping us in beer long time. Today we celebrate Andy Wallington, Brad Youngman, yes. Neil Fraser, yes. Keith Faulkner, yes. Chris yes. Lee, Bernard yes. Moore, yes. Jenny and no. Ralph, War. Bernard, yes. Bryce yes. Davis,
Brynard,
Brynard, yes, I've got it, Andrew Cunningham, David Finley,
yes. Yes.
Jason R. Bradley, Jade yes. Astabilo, Gabrielle yes. Rosencota, Paul yes. Hawkins, I got come there, Michael on. Rigby, Marble 123, yes. Michael Perry, Greg
seven.
Hoffman,
127,
Donald, oh, yeah, 127, whatever, Donald Griffin, Christopher Beck, and Keith Russell.
Oh my God. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, guys. I'm sorry we wrecked most of your names.
No, I didn't.
Sorry, Ollie wrecked most of your names.
I didn't ruin them. Join them. Join them all. Head to ff1s.com/pint. I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken teams, where the city sleeps, and I'm the only one. I walk alone. I walk alone. I walk alone. I walk alone. I walk alone.
My teammates.
What the fuck is going on?
New bombshell, Terry Saunders has just quit FF1S after that abomination.
I'm sorry, Terry. Did that not match the normal high standard of the team songs?
Right, let's start with Red Bull. Red Bull were, as expected, on top in Baku, but it was Sergio Perez who was King Dong, while Max Verstappen was back to his petulant old self. With Perez winning both races, there's only a handful of points in the championship. It's two wins each for the Red Bull drivers. Were we wrong to write Checo off?
No, but it is closer than I thought it would be at this stage of the season.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, it's still not really... I mean, it's close, but it's not, isn't it?
Because, like, I mean, it's what, 5-6 points, something like that?
I know, but they're only on, like, how many races have we had already?
Four. Yeah, I fully expected it to be four Verstappen wins and maybe two Perez second places and then a handful of third, fourths and fifths.
But Perez is just really good at street circuits, and there's a few street circuits this year. It's a bit like when Bottas would always win the Russian Grand Prix. I think it's just like that. The idea that this is going to be replicated or the next race, Max isn't going to just be 20 seconds ahead.
Fanciful.
And the fact that really, he only won the main race because of the safety car call. You know.
Well, did he? Because he was catching Verstappen before the safety car.
You'd really think that Red Bull would let Perez overtake Verstappen?
Well, yeah. Well, never mind Red Bull. Would Verstappen let Perez overtake Verstappen?
That too.
It could have been a double points, no finish. He was lucky in that respect, but by and large, I think he did it on merit. I think he was just quicker than Verstappen. Verstappen was pushing the rest of the race to try and catch him. Couldn't catch him.
But I think also Verstappen and the whole team know that they're walking this championship, so they don't need to... Because, you know, or maybe Verstappen has learnt the lesson. Because remember the other race when he was like...
Don't be silly.
Bitching and moaning about Perez finishing sixth or whatever it was. I can't remember. That was probably last year. It feels like ages ago.
Oh, because of the whole Monaco thing.
Yes, but can we just have a moment to discuss Red Bull's nauseating radio exchanges between Max and his mechanic engineer bloke? Like, it is the worst kind of enabling I've ever heard. Like, So basically, Max Verstappen just throws tantrums, and the way that they've realised to kind of keep him on board is to agree with everything he says. Oh God, no, Max, they're really bad, aren't they? They're terrible. But the fact that the radio engineers are legitimising this and kind of going, oh God, yeah, it's really bad that, you know, George Russell hit you, and he totally hit you. Yeah, we saw it, mate. We saw it. Oh God, he hit you with it. He just got a hammer out and hit you. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why they haven't disqualified him either. You know, it's just like this kind of shit. And then even at the end, Christian Horner comes on the radio and says to Max, oh, sorry, I guess Perez got a bit lucky with the safety car and it wasn't your fault. And it's just like, well, yeah, it's, Perez is one of your drivers. Oh.
No, you're right, Terry. No, it's awful. It's awful. It's awful. We think so as well.
Thanks. That makes me feel better.
It's always disheartening when Red Bull, you know, or get a 1-2 or you know, in the top three on the podium. It's just like, come on, I'm bored now.
I am as well, but I've come to terms with it.
Yeah, but I feel like it is, and it was really clear in Baku how fast it is. I mean, it is so fast, isn't it, that Red Bull? It just sort of glides past people, and I keep thinking, I really hope they get caught for cheating. I hope they're doing something that's just really illegal and against the rules, and everybody goes, you bastards, you were cheating the whole time. You've ruined the sport for everyone.
It's what's known as doing a Ferrari.
But I was thinking the same thing, because when the DRS opens and it just kind of rockets along like it's added another engine or something.
Was it 30 kph faster than the next car or something ridiculous?
It's mental, yeah.
It seems so quick it must be illegal or really good, but things aren't really good anymore.
Adrian Newey doesn't make good things.
I think it's illegal.
I've come to terms with the fact that Red Bull are going to walk it because, you know, we've had years of getting used to it. We got used to it with Mercedes. Prior to that, we got used to it with Red Bull again. It's just the way things go. The thing that's keeping me going is, will they self-destruct? Will the drivers crash into each other? Will the team lose control of them? Will Perez suddenly get ideas above his station when he thinks, actually, maybe I could do quite well here and start, you know, not being the good number two driver?
Well, judging on their previous, seeing as Red Bull have had two driver implosions already with Vettel and Webber, and then Verstappen and Ricciardo, it's like all signs point to yes, that team cannot manage its drivers when there's a pressurized situation.
They can make a good car, but... And they can strategize a good car, but they can't manage the drivers. They've all got a weakness, haven't they? Mercedes seems to be able to manage the drivers, with the possible exception of Rosberg and Hamilton for a bit. And they can make a good car and they can do strategy. Ferrari can make a good car, can't do strategy, but the drivers seem to get on. Red Bull can make a good car, do the good strategy, can't control the drivers.
Of course, it's like you've wrote it for Netflix. The other thing is, though, and it's going back to my point with the radio, is the way that they market themselves. So I might be doing rose-tinted glasses here, but I kind of remember that whenever Mercedes were, like, really walking it, Toto Wolff's kind of attitude was like, oh, well, you know, we wish there was more competition and, you know, we're having no team orders for our drivers. Like, he was at least trying to sound like, oh, yeah, I know it's a bit shit. Like, you know, we're not going to change anything because we like winning. But, yeah, we get it. It looks shit. Whereas Christian Horner just seems to do this kind of thing of like, yeah, we are winning and it's not fair. Everyone's mean to us. Oh, my God. Oh, did you hear what they said about us? Oh, God, listen to stuff.
I'm sorry I'm so brilliant.
God, yeah, fucking hell.
I'm just jealous because I've married a Spice Girl.
Ferrari. Ferrari aren't supposed to have a great car this year, but Charles Leclerc did a pretty good impression of being fast by taking pole in every one the 14 qualifying sessions over the weekend. Obviously, within a few laps, the Red Bulls got past and drove away, but otherwise, he looked pretty handy. Also, Carlos Sainz was there, apparently.
What's happened to Sainz? Has Leclerc just got really, really, really good, or has Sainz completely lost it? He was nowhere near him this weekend at all.
Well, I think Leclerc is really, really good. I think we're in one of those weird eras where a truly great driver is being masked by a disappointing set of cars and circumstances. And Sainz is a good driver. And I think when things are going well, I think they're both pretty equal. But whenever Leclerc can find that extra bit, he will just go way ahead of Sainz. And Sainz doesn't quite have in the tank to do the last half mile, 110%. I'm just saying buzzwords now.
Is this going to last? Because Leclerc hasn't had a flawless season, but this weekend he was really good. Like, I don't think he could have done much more. Did he make any mistakes? I can't think of any. The car's just not fast enough, but he was cracking. Mm. Will Ferrari
make Sainz de facto number two and tell him to just support. I mean, it's kind of pointless because they're never going to catch the Red Bulls, but...
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Unless the Red Bulls implode.
Well, the thing is, if ever there's a position... If ever there's a Fernando is faster than Yao moment, that could happen. But, you know, up until now, it's not going to happen because Carlos Sainz is always a couple of places behind, so it doesn't really matter, does it?
Yeah, it's never going to be true. That's the trouble.
Which is also the way that Ferrari strategy worked. They go, well, that's not going to happen, so we won't think about it. But what if it does happen? We need to have a plan of action. Nah, what are the chances? I'm going to go for a drink.
Put wet tyres on!
Aston Martin. When he's not bumping uglies with Taylor Swift, Fernando says he's training Lance Stroll to lead Aston Martin for the next 10 or 15 years. What does that say for Aston's ambitions?
Who is this nice Fernando Alonso? I don't like him.
It's a mask. He's clever enough that he's realised where he's fucked up in the past and he's overdoing it now. He's trying to be the most gracious, honourable... Certainly, Mr. Stroll, Mr. Stroll.
Everyone.
Your boy Lance, Mr. Stroll. He's incredible.
Come on, everybody can see through that. Everybody. Even Taylor Swift is going like, I don't know who these people are, but you are clearly wide.
I'm telling you, Taylor Swift's going to run off with Lance Stroll.
Of course, it's to impress Lawrence Stroll. Of course, Fernando realises he's on his last hurrah. He's got his last grasp at success or money. He can't piss off the boss. And he knows that he's got a habit of pissing off every team he's been in.
But he will do it, but yeah.
I know, it will happen.
It'll fall out of him.
When Taylor Swift leaves him, he'll just be like, and I tell you what, Lawrence, you're a...
Yeah, so, oh, fucking shit. Eight green.
But then, so childish and petulant.
But there was a bit of me that was like, is he just having a laugh? Because that weird message when he's like, oh, if you tell Lance to copy my brake settings, I think you find it might help him. And then they pass on the message. And a couple crashed. Of laps after that, he crashed. And I think it's Alonso in the car going, right, oh yeah, tell him to put the front one on 100% and the back one on 100%. It's fine. That's what I'm doing. It's yeah. Like, oh, thanks, Daddy Alonso.
It's like in the serious F1 games where I decide I know enough about engineering to start fiddling with the settings and rapidly make the car completely undrivable and then have to reset it and just go, yes, I'll use the default ones.
And just this idea of like Lance going, oh, tell Alonso I won't try and overtake him because we're best friends and everything. And it's like... And I know we had a bit of this last year with, you know, Fernando doing the whole, oh God, there's a lion and I need to protect him and kill a wildebeest. But I don't know. It's just, it's so
obvious. My genuine reaction to that, though, my genuine reaction when that happened over the radio, I actually was like, aw.
Yeah, but do you want,
no.
You
know, I was like, aw.
It's cynical,
I was like, that's
syrupy,
nice,
just...
There's no I in team. There's no I in team, Phil. You know,
but there is an
nice.
I in boring.
Mercedes. The Mercedes didn't work particularly well around Baku, and neither did George Russell, who lagged behind Lewis Hamilton all weekend. The only high point of his weekend was smashing Verstappen's side pod in the sprint race. Verstappen called him a dickhead. But is he?
Well, yes, but that's a different story. This was traumatic for me because I don't like George Russell or Max Verstappen. And now they're fighting. And I don't know which one I want to support or hate more.
Surely whoever wins, we lose. Or we both win.
It's just... I mean, we say this every week now. It's the story of the season. It's just that Max Verstappen is such a bad winner. It's just like... you know, you're going to walk the championship, mate. Calm the fuck down, all right? We all know.
I don't think he can.
I know, he definitely can't actually do it because he needs fucking 10 years of intense therapy.
Why was he trying to hold on to a position that pretty much anyone could see he'd lost? I mean, yes, you could do absolute heroics around the outside, as he tried to do.
But also,
but it's so risky. Why would you do it when literally a lap later you'll just cruise by him?
Well, that's the whole point. With this DRS they've got, it's like there's no point. He can go to the back and still win the race, nearly.
He doesn't need to do anything. All he has to do for the first 3 to 4 laps, even if he gets the worst start ever, is just don't have an accident. And then once it all settles down a little bit, you can just go, right, now I'll drive really fast. And he'll just slowly overtake everyone, and he'll do really well. I don't understand. Apart from Perez, obviously. But
The important thing here, actually, I think, is to determine who you hate more, George or Verstappen. I want to kind of just work out what you hate about them, and then maybe we can help you kind of put them in some kind of order so you can decide who you hate the most.
Well, they have, very
weird kind of therapy.
They have very different... No, I appreciate your question. They have very different hateful qualities.
Okay.
So Max Verstappen.
Let's go through them.
Max Verstappen is arrogant. He's selfish. He lives in a delusional bubble world, and he has daddy issues.
Gotcha.
George Russell just looks funny.
He wears makeup, right? I think.
Oh,
like, he's got very. He looks big like. Eye. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but he has looks very big like, eyes. No,
totally nothing wrong with that, but he does look like he wears some kind of like mascara or big eyeliner.
Eyes. I think he's just
something.
Got big eyes. Maybe he's part.
I don't know. He looks like eyes. A. It looks like a doll, like a weird sort
sex
of
sex doll.
You know. Yeah, but one of those really expensive ones that look human-like.
Oh, no. Yeah, yeah. And by the way, thank you for the nice price on that, Ollie. That was very
yeah, no worries.
Fine.
Yeah, but you cleaned know that nicely. You hear the stories about some blokes marrying. He looks like one of those. Like
he
a
looks,
robot.
He's like if ChatGPT made a Formula One driver.
Yes. Yes,
he's
exactly.
Got nice shoes but no personality. He said sugar on the radio instead of shit when he got out of qualifying. Yeah, oh, sugar. We'll do that next time, guys. He's like... Yeah, he's like Netflix have gone, we need to have like a children's TV driver. We need like the Formula One equivalent of Andy Crane.
I've got Andy Crane's autograph somewhere.
Bless it, but he is Andy... He's the Andy Crane of Formula One. So he's like... When you say broom cupboard, you think Phillip Schofield... And there's Andy Crane, and that's George Russell. You say Mercedes, you think Lewis Hamilton, and Andy Crane. And he'll never be Phillip Schofield, or even an Andy Peters.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, I think we've determined that you hate them an equal amount for different reasons. There you go. McLaren. Nando Lloris didn't run in SQ3 so that he could save a brand new set of softs and show everyone what he was made of. Unfortunately, the softs were shit and he went backwards. But qualifying seventh for the Grand Prix wasn't bad, even if he drifted back to ninth. Piastri was feeling poorly all weekend, but did fairly well, probably because driving on the narrow streets of Baku is like threading a needle, and he's had lots of practice shitting through the eye of one.
He was not a well boy, apparently.
So I don't really understand the phrase shitting through the eye of a needle. I know it means that your shit is so liquidy that you could, you know, pour it out. But, you know, you would need a kind of nozzle attachment on your anus for that. No one's anus could really do a stream that fine, especially if there's any lumps.
No, I don't know.
Wrong at ff1s.com.
That's the point. There's no lumps. I guess that's the point.
But even with no lumps, it's just... It's just coming
like
out of a hole.
Yeah, like a pinpoint yeah. Nozzle.
And when your buttocks get involved, it kind of just... It's like having your thumb over the hose, you know. It's just going everywhere.
I bet you could get those, though. I bet if you go on the internet.
Like a butt plug yeah. Nozzle. So it just leaves a kind of...
Yeah, it's like one of those... you know the posh hose things where you click them for different settings depending on whether you want to spray or miss?
Or it's like a super soaker.
For your arsehole.
It's like a super soaker and you have like a pump action.
I don't want to know what the pump action is. But yes, something yeah. Like that.
She's
excellent.
Lovely.
I think that's McLaren covered. No.
I mean, yes, because what's the point? They were not very good. They looked, I mean,
they got a point. They got two, well, some points, however many points you get for ninth.
Is this quite telling of the weekend that we haven't differentiated between the sprint and the race at all? Because
well, they were both equally shit, weren't they?
Big amorphous blob in our memories.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Alpine. Esteban Ocon failed to kill a pit lane full of photographers when he pitted so late that everyone thought the race had finished. He was torpedoed by a Parc Fermé breach that saw him start from the pit lane and then tried a mega long hard stint that didn't work. Gasly caught fire in practice, crashed in Q1 and had an exhaust leak in SQ1. He was apparently in the race, but we didn't see him, and he finished 13th. So pretty good weekend for Alpine then.
No.
Not so at that all. Fire, that fire was great. All the smoke coming out of the...
I did not see the fire.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty
bad. Billowing, just billowing brown smoke coming out of like the air thing above the helmet.
Intake.
Ooh,
nice. Oh, proper old school.
Yeah, it was sexy.
What, do we know what caught fire?
The car.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say the car.
Parts of the car and a squirrel.
A squirrel. He ingested an in squirrel through the air intake.
Yeah.
Which self-immolated.
It was weird when the fire happened, though, because there was a guy sort of standing there with a fire extinguisher, not really doing anything. And I just thought, just spray it on the car. Just, I would have just been like,
I've
what
seen
are you
this
doing?
A few times with marshals not kind of knowing what they're doing. And I want to give full credit to marshals everywhere. They do a great job and they don't get paid for it. But there have been a few occasions over the years where I've seen marshals
standing there with all the equipment they need to deal with the occasion. I don't know whether they've just... whether it's so different in real life from training that you're just overwhelmed by it. But surely it's just like, there's a fire, you've got a fire extinguisher, point the fire extinguisher at the fire. It happened at Grosjean's big crash. There was one marshal who was really good, and there was another one who just stood there going, I don't know what to do.
Well, this is another part of my occasional but regular series, how shit I would be at various Formula One jobs. Because, okay, here's a true story. I was at a festival many years ago, and somebody fainted next to me. And my reaction wasn't to kind of be one of the people that goes, oh my God, are you okay? Let's clear a space. Let's get an ambulance. And my other reaction also wasn't, oh, I'm going to get out of here because I don't want to be involved with this. My reaction was, oh, someone's fainted.
Your reaction was just to cover them with a pile of leaves.
Not even that. It was just like, oh, I hope someone does something. And I think that's what I'd be like. As a marshal, I'd be like, oh, there's a fire.
Somebody should deal with that.
Oh, I hope someone's...
Should come over and take this fire extinguisher from me.
That looks awful.
I hope someone's been trained on this, because that looks dangerous. Someone could get hurt.
It was weird. He was just standing there. I think it's because the fire was coming out of the hole of the air intake thing. And he just thought, oh, can I spray it down there? Am I going to break it? It's like, it's on fire, mate. Just fucking spray it.
I love that if the team sued the marshal and went, you sprayed your water in the wrong hole and you've ruined it.
Nobody wants to do that.
Apple have said it's got water damage, they won't replace the camera.
Maybe you wanted consent first.
Yeah. But I look, kudos to Ocon. No, hang on. Who was it that was doing the... Oh, it was Ocon, yeah. Kudos to Ocon for having and Hülkenberg for having this crazy... all or nothing attempt of let's not pit and hope there's a safety car in the last five laps. Otherwise,
yeah, that was good.
All we've done is ruin our race and ruin everyone else's race.
And nearly kill some photographers. Yeah, I mean, I am a fan of those Hail Mary. You don't see them that often now. The Hail Mary strategies are like, well, nothing else has worked. Let's put everything on black and see if it comes up.
I think another in my occasional but regular series of jobs I'd be shit out of for one is strategist, because I think I would always be... I would always do that thing of going, let's just do something everyone else isn't doing.
Do the movie star strategy.
Yeah.
And
the team would go, no, Terry, we're Red Bull. We're going to win. Ah, let's throw caution to the winds. Like, no, but we've got like
put some intermediates on.
Yes.
Double stack.
Have a sleep by the side of the road track.
Alfa Romeo. Alfa had two drivers who did reasonably well in a really rubbish car. And by reasonably well, we mean retired and finished 18th. Audi knows what it's getting into, right?
I hope so. I think Alfa have just kind of given up. They're just like, we'll phone it in for the next 2 years or however long it is until Audi come in and make things good with their big budgets, which they can't use because everyone has the same budget now.
But they're really shit, aren't they?
Mm. Bottas has gone right off the boil. What's happened to him?
Bottas has become
brilliant, but he wasn't terrible.
Bottas has become, every time I see his name, I've forgotten he was still there.
He sometimes has, you know, he's Australian now. He has mullets and a moustache. He gets his ass out. And sometimes he drives a race car badly.
Williams, the Williams season of not being quite as shit as everyone expected continued in Baku. Alex Albon set a high bar by qualifying 7th for the sprint, but then could only manage 12th, where he stayed. Logan Sargeant faces demotion to corporal for crashing in SQ2 and therefore missing the sprint, and then dropping from 14th to 16th in the race. Albon says he wants to replicate at Williams what Alonso is doing at Aston. Sorry, I just paused there. Don't know why. So does he think Sargeant is a future world champion?
Fucking hope not, because it doesn't look like one. Mind you, Stroll doesn't look like one either, so I don't know, maybe. Also, Albon isn't a two-time world champion and isn't a horribly snide backstabber. So I don't think he's onto a good analogy there.
Yeah, because he's not... The car's not very good and he's not Fernando Alonso.
Yeah. Alonso's a really good driver that you cannot trust as far as you can throw him.
And he's in a team that have designed a really good car this year. And actually, what Williams haven't done there is designed a really good car.
Sure. I mean, they've designed a car that isn't quite as bad as we thought it was going to be, which is good.
Should be Williams' tagline. The Williams, the team that are focused on next year's car for the last 30 years.
Better than you might expect. Williams. Yeah.
We're surprised too.
They're not back to the glory years of Maldonado quite yet. But, I mean, you know, Albon's doing a good job. Sargeant, I think the jury is very much still out on him. But he's shown signs of sometimes not being awful. But then Maldonado won a race, so...
Nothing matters.
Haas. Nico Hülkenberg has a history of qualifying well and then being a disappointment in the race. And so, t'was at the weekend, his setup meant he was faster than Magnussen for one lap and then wrecked his tyres, which meant a setup change and a pit lane start and a rise only to 17th. K-Mag got an 11th in the sprint and a 13th in the race, which probably isn't too bad, unless it is.
I think, even though the Haas isn't a particularly great car, even though it's not bad, it's got its moments. This year must surely cement the end of the careers of these two never quite have been drivers.
Yeah, they both almost have been.
They've both had moments. They've both had quite long careers, actually. Yeah, in many
one
teams.
Of them's had podiums.
It's time for them to both give up.
But who do you bring in?
Retire.
That's the trouble. You've got to have somebody with experience.
Mick Schumacher and Nikita Mazepin.
Damon Hill.
One final hurrah. I do like the idea of like bringing back a Formula Masters team, or the what was it called, GP Masters from a few years ago, where it's like Hill and Mansell or Villeneuve and Mansell.
Who do you reckon is the most, oh, how do I phrase this question, who's the oldest driver that you reckon would still be best? Because bear in mind,
Mario Andretti
still be best. I think Andretti like, was still up against Verstappen.
If someone had to get into a car next week, and obviously the car was made to fit them and all the rest of it, who would
Jackie
still,
Stewart?
Because I think Jackie Stewart would still be very good. Actually, yeah, I think you're right. I think he would still have the nous. I think obviously Mansell, no, he's well past that. I don't think he'd have it.
You'd have to look at sports cars, wouldn't you? Because there's loads of F1 drivers. No,
we're talking the glory Formula One drivers. Let's cast from a pool of like champions and race winners, not some has-been.
Yeah, because otherwise you're looking at people like Gabriele Tarquini or...
Exactly. So I think, you know, obviously, yeah, Mansell I think would be past it. I think Damon Hill would just be too scared. He's talked a lot, he's written a lot about depression.
Coulthard,
I think, would be about as good as he used to be, so not very... Schumacher obviously goes without saying.
Alesi,
Berger would throw it around. I reckon he'd still have something.
Patrese,
I don't know what he's doing these days, but yeah, I think he'll be just retired on a coffee plantation or something. I'm thinking of Ricardo Montalban, but
Montoya.
No, he won't.
Montoya would have to lose quite a bit of weight to fit in the car, but I think he'd still be quite good. Is he still racing? I think he's still racing.
No idea. I mean, I suppose Raikkonen is the most recent.
Yeah, well,
names.
He's not that
or
old.
Or Vettel,
though, is he?
Actually. Vettel is
Vettel's not old
most.
At all. He's younger than all of us. Well, he's younger than me.
Yeah, but he has retired. So actually, I've answered my question. Vettel would do the best because he was only.
Yeah, but you said who's the oldest.
But I think.
Yeah, you did say who's the
if
oldest.
If the oldest is someone who's,
so would Jackie Stewart
someone
beat
who's
Vettel?
Still younger than the current oldest F1 driver.
There needs to be there is some criteria here because like the older you are, the worse you'll get.
Fittipaldi,
who's better?
Because he raced for ages anyway, didn't he? Have we lost Terry again? I think we have.
I think Terry's frozen. Okay, yeah, you're back again.
I was just so confused by my own question that I just my brain froze.
I think Fittipaldi. Anyway, there we go. Done. Wrong at F1S.com.
AlphaTauri. Tsunoda somehow qualified in 8th for the race, but then promptly collided with his teammate in the sprint and crashed a few corners later. Still. A point on Sunday was decent, unlike De Vries, who forgot how to turn a corner and pulled the front of his car off. Remember that race last year when he was good?
The rookiest of rookie errors for the rookie. Crikey. Turning too early and hitting the inside of the corner.
And you just know, it's one, like, I've talked about this before, I'm sure, but it's like, you know, it's like when you're in a job and you do a fuck-up that was avoidable, but you always do it like in front of the boss, and that's kind of... him all over. It's like, oh, he could have clipped any other part of the track, but he has to clip it when everyone's watching.
Because let's be honest, not that many, they can't have had that much overall
time on camera in an AlphaTauri, and yet the 1 minute where everyone was following him, he smashed the front off. And it's fairly unforgivable because, you know, every now and again you see it happen at Monaco, and while Baku is a street circuit, it's not Monaco, it's a lot wider. You've got a lot more room to not hit things. Shame on him. He's ballsing it up. After so long trying to get into F1, he's throwing it away.
Do you reckon he got nervous because he saw himself on a screen?
Might have done.
And he was like, oh, no, everyone's watching me now. Bah! Don't fuck up. Don't fuck up. Don't do it. Yeah, and then just did it because he just wanted something to happen. Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
All of which takes us to the standings with Terry Saunders.
Okay, so for the driver standings, this is one of those ones that I often do, which I can't tell if it's genius or shit, but we're going to find out. Because it was the sprint race, and the sprint race obviously means you've got to do everything quicker, I have tried to condense each driver's name into the least letters possible, but still recognisable as that driver. So, in first place, Max Verstappen. In second place, Sepe.
Okay.
Sergio Perez, yeah. Sepe.
Yes, yeah, sure.
Third place, Fernando Alonso. Fourth, Loom. Lewis Hamilton. In fifth place, Cousins. That's Carlos Sainz. Cousins. Cousins.
Cousins.
Yeah. Chicler. Charlie Clark.
Chicler, that works.
Yeah, Chicler.
Sounds like a Colombian pop star.
Grussell is George Russell.
Grussell. <Yeah. laughs> Sounds like a complaint.
Lindstrom.
Oh, that's difficult.
That's a hard one, that
yeah,
one.
That's tough.
That's medical.
10th place is Nickelberg.
Nickelberg.
You missed out Norris.
Oh, sorry. In 9th place, Londoners.
Londoners.
I'm just making them all Finnish. Londoners.
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 Now, then 10th place is Nickelberg. Nickelberg, which is Nico Hülkenberg and Nico Rosberg, so it's both the same. Skipastri. I'm doing a natural Russian accent, and I don't know.
I was going to say, that's
sure
an apology.
The Czech Republic.
Yeah, that's an apology in Eastern Europe somewhere.
Yeah.
Skipastri.
Valbot is Valtteri Bottas.
That's an AI.
In 13th place, Esoko. Esteban Ocon.
Yeah, that sounds like an oil.
Yeah, that's what I was going for as well.
In 14th, Pierre Gasly. That's a hard one. That's a hard one. Zugu is Zoganyu.
That's quite good. Yeah. I like that, Zugu. Yeah, yeah.
Yuki Noda is Yuki Tsunoda. I've only taken out one syllable there.
Yeah, that sounds almost the same.
Alex Alb. Alex Alb. For all your screw industrial parts needs, Alex Alb. And K-Mag, which is beauty now. There we go.
Excellent.
I'm still not clear whether it was genius or shit, but, you know, it's staying
in. But we enjoyed the journey. It always stays in, no matter how shit. And then, because we were talking about Red Bull's radio, I thought, what are the songs that the teams would play on their radio for themselves? I was tired. Everyone Hates Everything About Us. It's Red Bull at number one. Tell Lance I Love Him is Aston Martin. Hi-Ho Silver Lining is Mercedes. Tell Me Why. Addy Lennox fans, that's Ferrari with Y. Stuck in the Midfield with You is McLaren. Come On Baby, Light My Fire is Alpine. Never Gonna Give Those Tires Up, it's Haas. I know I always do this, but I've written Mandy as in the Barry Manilow song for Alfa Romeo, and I can't remember why. Oh, Mandy.
Did they come and give without thinking, whatever the lyrics were?
Yes. This is AlphaTauri. Dum 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 chik chik dum 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 ching ching dum dum dum. We're bad. And we all forgot about you. It's Williams.
If I was better at music production, I would record all of these songs, put them out.
I'm sure we could make a killing.
We got such a playlist that we could put together. Then we get sued.
And now, the man of the match of driving.
Charles Leclerc.
Perez.
Ooh.
And now it's time for the State of F1 with Terry Saunders.
So look, I want to like sprint races. I really do. F1 was getting boring and the idea of another quick frenetic race over the weekend sounds great. So why is it a bit shit? Firstly, it's still baffling, or somehow more baffling. Last year's rules meant the sprint essentially became the first stint of Sunday's race, and pole position became some kind of confusing stat. Whereas now they qualify for the Sunday race on Friday, then on Saturday have a shootout, which isn't qualifying but is. Then it's a race, which isn't a Grand Prix but is. And I think herein lies the problem. Short shootout qualifying looks like qualifying, and a short race looks like a race. So despite all of the hoo-ha, we're not getting anything new, just more of the same, only less of it. But don't worry, I have a solution. For the race to feel different, it has to look different. Instead of a shootout sprint, have radical new formats. What if the cars go out two by two and whoever finishes a lap first goes on to the next round of qualifying? Or let's give the race a rolling start. Or have some new flags with a bewildering array of options, like overtake next car for double points, purple. Brake test car behind for a grid place in Greece, silver. Or get within 6 feet of Max Verstappen to be disqualified, because that's how it works now. Or how about we don't reverse the grid, but we reverse the finish? Last place gets most points, so all the drivers will just be going as slow as possible. Or everyone has to pit on the last lap to freak out those pesky photographers. But I do think that it just because the problem is when you're watching it, it just looks the same. It's just you're just watching a race, and we want to be watching something more gimmicky.
In track cycling, they basically have, I think it's called the Omnium, where they just have a load of different events and then there's cumulative points. I'd like to see some of them. They have one race which is like an elimination race, where every two laps, whoever's last gets eliminated. And so they sort of cruise around, and then there's they have a crazy blat towards the end every couple of laps. So there'd be loads of action at the back that would gradually get further and further forward, so everyone wants to make sure they're not last.
Phil, you seem to have forgotten when they changed the qualifying format to be exactly that, and all the teams went, oh, I'm not going to bother going out then, because we're really going to come last. Do you remember?
Okay, we'll have to do some convoluted rules to circumvent that that would have implications that we hadn't considered. That's the F1 way.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Do you think we need to give it a chance? Do you think it's going to actually, because how many more of these are there? There's still
relays.
More,
we should
there?
Do relays between the teammates. Only championship then. Points. Only drivers' constructors' points are up for grabs. And the drivers, they do a one lap and then they pass a bat. They physically pass a baton. Throw it in the cockpit.
I think the format is ultimately fine. It does make people watch more Formula One over the weekend. I think it's hard to judge, and bad luck on the actual thing is that they had a safety car come out in the first couple of laps. It's like when you've got like a 15 lap race, you don't want to be like, oh, we're going to be behind the safety car for four laps, and that ruined the whole chance because there's some of the tires were going to give out and there were going to be pit stops, and then the safety car ruined it. So the safety car made it into a more boring spectacle than it potentially could have been, even though it might not have been great. So I think give it more of a chance, but ultimately, if it's a boring Grand Prix, it's going to be a boring sprint, surely.
I reckon they should bring back the running start. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it?
Or they should start with a gun. I think that would get them all going.
That's it from us. It's a goodbye to Phil Tromans.
Goodbye. We haven't had time to talk about Toto Wolff, who is going to teach a course at Harvard next year on how to be disappointing or something, presumably.
And to Terry Saunders.
We haven't had... Well, my cat is purring next to the microphone. We haven't had time to talk about perhaps the best story that's ever happened in Formula One, which is the German magazine publishing an interview by Michael Schumacher that was actually an AI saying, this is what we think Schumacher would say if he was... And it's just wrong on so many levels and so many decisions where someone should have said, no, this is not a good idea. And it got through all the way to publication for this magazine. I've looked into it. It's a trashy magazine. It's like a take a break kind of thing, you know. It's not we're not talking Der Spiegel or something. But at the same time, I've said that as though I know Der Spiegel is like the good paper. I'm really ignorant of all the stuff here. I might have just said the Star. But
it's not like the Daily Sport, a quality paper.
Yeah, exactly. When I read that, I felt that's even too far for me and one of my jokes for the State of F1.
It isn't. That'll be next week's State of F1.
Next week's State of F1 is me with my interview with Michael Schumacher.
I'm not clear on whether this is... I don't know if this is exactly what I was thinking.
Well, we'll see how much of that makes the episode. We'll be back. I won't be. Chica will be back next week to talk about Miami. In the meantime, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/ForF1's Sake, and follow us on Twitter @ForF1's Sake. Are we on Mastodon?
No.
Maybe.
Okay, cool. Terry, where can people buy merch?
FF1S.com/shop.
Excellent. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in a week. I've been Ollie Peart. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.